Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Back into Luke chapter 8 today, and maybe just move the screen a little bit. Yeah, cool, because I'm going to walk maybe a little bit today. My whole morning routine was thrown out of whack when we had a computer die, and we had the blue screen of death on our computer, so that's never a good thing. So I had to do a lot of stuff this morning too, and so it threw the rhythm out. But we're going to pray, and we're going to get into what God has for us. But we're going to Luke 8, which is where we were last week. We're going to do the part two. I was hoping to do it all last week, but God kind of slowed it down a bit, so that's okay. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you knowing that you are a God who can do all things. You created everything. With your words, you spoke the world into existence. You opened your mouth and worlds and stars and planets and galaxies were created. There is no one like you. You have no rival. You have no equal. And today, we just give you thanks. We know that you truly are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that even when we can't see you working in our lives, you are always working. So as we open your word, as we look at this miracle story, just speak to us. Speak directly to our hearts, to our minds, to our spirits. Empower us today. And wherever anybody is listening to the sound of my voice, whether that via podcast, online, live, whatever, just empower them. In the name of Jesus, his powerful name, amen. Last week we started a series called Our Faith and His Ways. And we can't possibly talk about all of his ways because they're just too complex. And nobody on earth ever understood that. Maybe Jesus did, he might be the only one, but the rest of us, we certainly cannot even comprehend all of that and his ways. But we started looking at this story in Luke chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, and we kind of looked at this story of the disciples in a boat with Jesus. If you weren't here last week, this is what the passage says. Verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So they got in a boat and set out. As they sailed, he, being Jesus, that is, fell asleep. Other versions might have a storm or a squall or a windstorm, but he fell asleep during the storm. So the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. Remember what we talked about last week, if you were here, that this was no ordinary storm, because some of the disciples were actually fishermen, right? They're used to being on the water. You could understand if they were farmers and they were not used to being on the water, then they might be scared. But these guys were fishermen. They were used to being on the water. And so if they were scared and felt like they were in danger, then they were in danger, right? We could settle on that, yeah? Right. Verse 24, the disciples went to him, being Jesus, woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, the storm subsides and all was calm. Then he says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples in fear and amazement. They asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters and they obey him." Remember last week, if you were here, we spoke about the fact that if we were a disciple of Jesus Christ and we were in that boat, right, in the middle of a storm, and we had the maker of the universe with us, he's in the boat with us, right? In the middle of this storm, he's in the boat with us. If we were one of the disciples, then we would have gone to Jesus and said, "Yo, Jesus, we need some help. Help us out here. We're in a storm. We're going to die. Help us out." Like, come on, we would have, right? We would, every single one of us. And this is encouraging because in our lives, when we go through storms, when we go through times that are troubled, when we go through things, not just the everyday type stuff, I'm talking about the storms that we feel like are going to take us out, where we feel like we're in grave danger. The ones that, you know, we're going to go to the one who made all things, who could do all things, who is there when we need. We're going to go to God. We're going to ask for help, aren't we? Right? And this is what the disciples do. They go to Jesus and ask for help. And kind of you and I both go, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Is when we're in trouble, go to Jesus and ask for help? But Jesus says, "Where is your faith?" And it, I must admit, this passage just threw me when I read it the first time, because I struggled with the idea that, hang on, Jesus, I'm meant to go to you. What are you talking about? And my understanding of what was happening and what God's understanding was very different. And his ways are very different to my ways. My ways is go to Jesus, get him to do it. His ways, he's doing something totally different. And so we kind of then started to look at this gap between his ways and our ways and how we're meant to close the gap. That we're meant to, Christians, as we live, as we walk in our faith, we're meant to close the gap between our ways and his ways, right? Close that gap. And we kind of looked at this idea that God doesn't want to just do things for us, like calm the storm for us, but he wants to do things with us and through us. Remember that? We talked about how level one faith was believing that God can and God will, but level two faith was God can and God will through me. Because that's much harder, isn't it? Come on, say it with me because it makes you feel good. I know it makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. God can. God will. Through me. Ooh, I just kicked that thing. That's not good. Right? But this, again, this is, I've got to be honest. God can, God will through me. I know how messed up I am. So I know believing through me, a perfect God through me, is going to be, it takes more faith. I can believe God can and God will in any situation. Believing that God can and God will through me, well, I know how messed up I am. And so we kind of talked about how this idea that although we're messed up, God still wants to use us. And actually, I didn't say this last week, and I wish I had said this last week. So I'm going to add it in now and pretend I said it last week. I'm glad that we're messed up and God uses us. Because what that means is that we need to rely on a perfect God in order to get us through whatever we need to do. Because if we weren't messed up, then would we need God? So being messed up actually causes us to rely on God. It causes us to be humble. It causes us to rely on God. It causes us to kind of stay close to him, doesn't it? So I'm kind of glad he's chosen us, messed up as we are. And you could read through the scriptures. There's all sorts of people who are messed up just out there, and God uses them. And if they were to walk into church right now, we would literally kind of maybe shun them out or push them back out because we wouldn't want to sit next to them. But yet, we read their stories and scriptures and we're inspired. And so this idea that God can and God will through me. This is our faith in his will, right? This is the first thing we learn. We have a role to play. This is the point. We have a role to play in our walks, right? And this is number one. Point one was, God can and God will through me. Level two faith. All right, we're moving on because this week I want to talk about the fact that because of God's words, we have power. Someone say, I have power. That wasn't too bad, but it sounded more like a classroom when we were at school, you know, like, good morning, mister. That, it just didn't kind of didn't have that powerful kind of, you know, just suck some air into your diaphragms and you start like this and say, I have power. Okay, one more time because I think you're not quite getting how much power you actually have. So one more time, just, and then scream out at me, I have power. Power. You see, that's good. We're getting there. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, right? Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and formless, and the darkness covered the face of the earth. And then God said, let there be... Oh my gosh, church, you're on it. Let there be light. If you didn't answer that question, I was going to say, good Lord, church, where have you been? Do we need to go back to the beginning? And anyway, it doesn't matter. Let there be light. God spoke and there was. God spoke and there was. Do you know what? Some people say they don't believe in a big bang. I believe in a big bang because when God said, let there be light, he opened his mouth and at the speed of 299,792,458 meters a second, light flew out of God's mouth. That's fast. If there wasn't a big bang, there would have been a bang as the light came out, right? So I'm good with a big bang theorist. We did not, though, somehow randomly get, you know, two atoms that clicked together and somehow went from the goo through the zoo and somehow got to be a new. Like, that didn't happen. Like, no, that didn't happen. God created because he said and it was. He spoke and it was. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, nine times God said and there was. Let there be sky to separate the waters, and there was sky. Let there be land, and there was land. Let there be vegetation on the land, and there was vegetation. Let there be birds and animals, and there was birds and animals. Let there be stars in the skies, and there were stars. Like, God said it, and it was. And this is just Genesis 1. God says, and it was. It's a done deal. When God speaks, it's a done deal. Yeah? Can we all agree it's a done deal when God speaks? Yeah. So we're in the middle of a storm with Jesus. Remember, go back to the story. We're in the storm with Jesus. And we read a promise in Scripture where God says something to us. What do? We don't actually fully believe it, do we? We kind of doubt. Like, let's be honest. Do you fully believe when you're in the middle of something, looking at the whole world going chaotic around you, and you read the scripture that says God will provide for us, and you're just looking at your bills going, this doesn't make sense, I'm never going to get through this, how is God going to, do we actually believe? God said it, it's a done deal, but actually do we believe? It's like if I said to Billy, what's your favourite colour? Red, right? It's red. Now I could say, Billy, no it's not, it's green. You lied to us, right? Of course, I can't do that. It's red. He told us it was red. Well, Steve, what's your favourite food? Nacho. Oh, God, who likes a good nacho bowl? Oh, now I'm hungry. Okay, church over, let's go get nachos. No. Right, nachos. I can't turn around and go, no, it's not. It's roast. He said it was nachos. So if he said it, it must be true, right? I can't just say, so when God says something, why do we go, hang on, is that true? Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying here? Like, Jesus says he'll provide for us, but in the storm we doubt. Jesus says he's there for us, but yet when there's no one around, we feel lonely and you know, when life, like he says we can have life and life to the fullest, but yet then we kind of feel like we're in a funeral all the time. Like, and depression. Like, he says, you know, focus on things above, but yet we just see the mess around us. Jesus says something and we question it. And the disciples in this story, I love it. The disciples in this story, they were given words from Jesus and they doubted. In fact, Jesus told them exactly what was happening. And one person last week picked up this point. So I was glad one person did. They were in Busselton. Can I have chapter 8, verse 22 back up on the board? One day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So if Jesus said it, what was going to happen? They were going to go to the other side of the lake. So why didn't they believe Jesus' words? Now, I'm not knocking the disciples because, let's face it, I doubt. There's times, right? But Jesus said it, what that was going to happen. Jesus said that they were going to go to the other side. So right from the start of the journey, he said that they were going to the other side. And so when he says, where is your faith? Part of me thinks that he was saying to the disciples, why didn't you trust me and go, you know what? Yes, there's a storm here. Yes, the boat looks like it's going to get swamped. Yes, things are going sideways, but you can claim the words that I've just spoken and you can tell the storm that's enough. You can tell the storm we're done because Jesus said we're getting to the other side. We could tell the storm, you know what? God hasn't failed me yet. He's got me through 100% of the time. I'm still here. So therefore, storm, you can get lost. I think the disciples had power enough through Jesus' words to stand up to that storm and say, storm, you're done. Amen? Like, come on. I'm standing here with my hands on my hip because it needs a bit of attitude. Sometimes we need to say to our storms, you're done. That's it. It's over. See, you know, we would all live very different lives if we understood just how much power we have. How much power God has. Do you know you have resurrection power running through your veins? Thank you. What, amen. I'm glad I prepared this sermon. We have resurrection power running through our veins. We are powerful. Say, I am powerful. Because of what Jesus says, if we can find the promise that Jesus gives us in Scripture, we can claim that promise and we can turn around and go, that's it. We're claiming it. We're claiming it. Say, I'm claiming it today. In fact, this is what it says, right? This is what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I've gone to the King James Version, old school. Some would say the original. Maybe not the best, but the original. If you like the King James Version, I'm so sorry. This is what it says in Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Say power. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. By any means hurt you. So Jesus says, we have power. And maybe Jesus was saying to his disciples, you know what, you should have stood up to the storm and said, storm, we're done. Jesus said it. I'm claiming it, we're getting to the other side. Make sense? Yeah. Woo! Say, I have power. In fact, remind the devil today, because you know what? We know that verse, you know, I've come to bring you life, but he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we always translate that as, you know, the devil wants to take you out, leave you out as a pile of stinky poo on the side of the road, right? But what does he actually come to steal? Your power. Your power. He wants your power because that's what got him kicked out of heaven to start with. He was trying to get God's power. Like, he's chasing power. In fact, in any realm, in any business, in any place, you'll see people always scrounging for power. Right? Business world, people scrounge for power. If you think you don't, just ask your spouse if you scrounge for power or not. They'll tell you. Like, we always scrounge for power everywhere. But it's a God-given power that we have. It's a God-given power. And God gives us this power, you know, and says, you know, claim these things. And so we can literally walk through our lives claiming the power that God has actually given us. Yeah? Yeah. Claiming the fact that if he said it, he will do it. Make sense? If he said it, he would do it. Say it one more time. I have power.
I have power.
We can claim every single promise. But this is where my understanding and God's understanding starts to shift. And my thoughts and his thoughts start to shift. Because if I'm honest with you all, and look, we you know, name it and claim the promises. That sounds good, right? We could end the sermon there. We go out. That preaches really well. But if we're honest, right, there have been days, there have been seasons, there's been periods in my life where God has got me to the other side of the lake. But I've crawled onto the beach or crawled myself up onto the beach. Like, he hasn't told me how I'd get there or what state I'd get. Like, there have been times in my life where I haven't felt powerful at all. Times when things just seem out of my control and I've gone, not today, Satan, not going to happen, you can't shake me. And actually, I'm shaken to my core. And when I've gone to God, I go, God, come on, I've prayed and I named it and I claimed it, but why is this still happening? Why hasn't it, the storm subsided? Why hasn't this, like, all of a sudden I start to go, ooh, there's a disconnect between what God is doing and his will and what my understanding and my will is. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Come on, if we're honest, really. Yep. Right? I'm old enough, most of you are old enough to know this, like, yes, we have power, but actually when we've named it and claimed the promises and that we found in Scripture, that we get to the other side and we just go, hang on, what I experience and what you say are two different things. And I think we need to go a little bit beyond past just naming the promise and claiming the promise. Let's call that level one, faith. Remember, this is our walk in his ways. Let's call that level one, naming and claiming. Because we do. We have power. We have power. In the storms, we have it. But I've prayed for people who have been sick and they've just got sicker. I've prayed for, in the times when I've been in a storm, when the attacks are coming and it's just got worse. I've prayed for my pimple-nosed, snotty little brat of a son to do stuff and he hasn't done it. Feels like it's worse when I got home after I prayed. And I'm kind of sitting here going, God, what is going on? Who's with me? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Naming and claiming is one thing, but actually reality and sometimes... And then this disconnect between our ways and his ways, his thoughts and my thoughts. You know, there's this, close the gap. Let's close the gap. And then I had this wonderful kind of awesome thought. What if the storm that we're going through is actually about preparing us for a future ministry or a future environment? What if my pimple-nosed, snotty brat of a son, who is, you know, just, you know, he's not falling off the rails. He's really a good kid. Let me just put that on record too. But the times when he annoys the... What if God is building into him a testimony, a story to share with someone? Because when I think about it, right, some of the best ministries that I've ever seen have always been born out of a time of great struggle. Some of the best ministries are born out of storms. I know people who want to invite people in and just have people around them and give them a place to belong because there was a period of their life and time where they felt alone. And so what if God is not taking us through the storm? Like, because he doesn't actually say how they'll get to the other side. He just says they'll get to the other side. But maybe God is taking us through that storm not to actually punish us, not to actually just kind of keep it on you. He's actually taking you through that storm to actually build something into you for the future. So you can share a story, a testimony about how good our God is. Now, I say this, right, because I know that every single storm that each and every one of you have been through, God has got you through 100% of the time. And I know that because you're still here. It's kind of basic, but it's true. You're still here. He's got his 100% track record. Don't get me wrong. There have been times when I felt like I've crawled onto that beach at the other side. But he's got me through. And here's the power thing that we start to see, because I think if we shift this idea from, I'm in the middle of the storm, this is going to kill me, this is going to happen to, actually, no, God said we're going to get through this. God's doing something. He's building something. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's, we could have the power maybe to then turn around and go, you know what, storm, you come at me, right? I don't like it. I wish I was at the other side already. I wish it was calm. But God's doing something in me. And you could have a power of a peace in your hearts as that goes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like as we go through it, we can have the power of peace just land on us, knowing actually God's going to get us through. God's going to get us through. God's going to get us through. What if instead of looking at the storm and what's happening there, we start to look at what God is doing and preparing us? What if we don't just look at the storm, but we see it as actually God's building a testimony in our hearts to share? What if we start, you know, those roughest periods of our lives, those terrible times, we start to see God's story start to be, when we start to look at family and what's happening with them, maybe God is just building a testimony in them and getting them ready for something. You know, what if we start to look at it, you know, the health concerns that we go through, to say, actually, God is preparing me so that when someone else with the same health concerns come along, I can show them a perfect peace in the middle of this. Does that make sense? What if God is doing something in his ways? It don't make sense in our ways, but in his ways, it makes perfect sense. We have a power, absolutely. We can name it and we can claim it. But when things go sideways, we need to actually turn around and go to level two and go, you know what, I see what's happening. I'm just not going to pay attention to it. I've got to believe that God has got me through. You can name it and claim it. I believe in naming it and claiming it. Don't get me wrong. But I also believe that sometimes God's purpose is different to what our thinking should be. Does that make sense? And the whole point of this series is for us in our walks to become closer to his ways. Make sense? In the middle of the storm, we can look at what's happening, but we can also look to the God who can give us peace and who has got us through and will get us through. Yes, we have power. So maybe you just walk through going, you know what, Satan, this storm is here. God's going to get me through this. He's just building a story for me to witness to more people. I guarantee you the enemy's not going to like that. But he can't hurt you. He can't harm you because the promise in Scripture is that he can't. Does it make sense? See, I know this whole principle to be completely true. I know it to be true. Because up until I was 12, I lived in a household where my father beat the living crap out of us. And I say it like that because it's the only word strong enough I can say from the platform that describes it. He gambled all our money away. He was drinking a lot. Wouldn't surprise me if he was on drugs, but I can't confirm that. So let's just say he was a drunk, a gambler, a wife and child beater. Like this is who my father was up until I was 12. I got a stepdad and he repaired some of that damage, which was great. And then when I hit 16, I started kind of heading down that same track. I started smoking, started drinking, started, you know, doing drugs. You know, I was pretty dark. You know, I'm sure my mum prayed. I'm sure of it. That she prayed going, God, step into his life. He needs an encounter. Do something there. I'm sure my mum prayed. And I'm sure I rocked up sometimes and my mum's prayers weren't answered. Not in the way that she thinks they were going to get answered. I'm sure my mum believed and claimed the promises found in Proverbs 22 where it says, you know, start your children off right in the ways of the Lord and when they're old they will not turn from it. Like, I'm sure she claimed that. But in the middle of those storms, the temptation for us is to turn around and say, God can't do this. God won't do this. God's not powerful enough to do this, or God's not real. But what if God was working the whole time on my testimony? What if God was building in me a story that when I became the minister of one of the best church networks in all of Australia, in fact the world, and I got to minister to you guys and be in a place where I had influence on people who were walking in our doors, who were drunks and alcoholics, who smoke, who have drug addictions and other things going on. What if God was putting in me something that I could share with them? I didn't like going through it, don't get me wrong. But God was doing something. What if we start to see our storms as not actually storms, but actually start to see them as God building something in us, level two? Makes sense? We have the power to believe that his ways are more than our ways. But it requires a choice. And we talked about choice last week. It requires a choice for us to go, you know what, God? I'm going to believe that you've got this. I'm going to believe that you're going to get me through because you said it. I'm going to claim it because you said it. You know, you didn't tell me how I'm going to get there, but you said it. And so whatever I'm going through, I'm just going to believe that you're building something in me for a future use, for a future ministry, for maybe just to talk to that one person. And I can connect with them because I fully understand what they're going through. Does that make sense? We are called to have power. We can literally we have enough story in this room to walk into our world and fill this place seven times over. Let's start using it. And the story we have and what God has done because he truly is a waymaker and a miracle worker and a promise keeper and a light in the darkness. We know that God can and God will through us, absolutely, but we need to believe that through us, we need to believe that actually the storms we're in is a story that he gives us to share with people. Does it make sense? He's building in us. So we're going to sing, and in 2 weeks' time you get part three. Whew. I feel good. You feel good? I feel good. I don't like storms, don't get me wrong. Singers can come up. I don't like storms. None of us like storms. And you know what? Naming it and claiming it, yeah, that's one thing. But when it doesn't happen the way we think, there's a disconnect between our ways and his ways. And we need to start going, you know what, God? You're building a testimony. You're building a story. So we're going to sing this song, Waymaker, and believe that he will get us through. And then after that, we're going to sing My Testimony, because we all have one. Sound good? If God is speaking to you, you can stand when we sing and just say to God, you know what? I believe that the storm I'm in, or the storm that I may get into, or the ones that I have been in, have been for me. You'll be building, not just terrorizing. Make sense? Let's sing.